With you.
Also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. We are right in the middle of our pre-Lent time in the church here, the Jesima Sundays. We are about 60 days out from Easter, Sexagesima, and the theme of today and the hymns in the message, at least I think the message, and the readings. If you've been here at Good Shepherd more than 5 or 10 minutes, you know that this congregation is about the Word, the Word, the Word. Today, this great focus is on Christ and His Word, the life of the world, for you, for me. A couple of words on our worship service for today, our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, number 523, O Word of God Incarnate. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. The propers are on the inside of our bulletin. The readings are on the back cover. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. As we ease our way into our Lenten season, one thing that you'll notice today is we are skipping the Alleluia and verse before the gospel. We'll make sure that we note that and we are on the right page as we move forward. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the Word. The Word made flesh, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, today we thank you for the Word that you have had recorded for us, Holy Scriptures, your Word of law and gospel, your Word that truly creates life. Heavenly Father, this day we thank you for your Word connected to water, bread, wine, words, your Word delivered to us in these very common ways. Your Word that brings and sustains life. Instill in us a hunger and a thirst and a desire for your Word. Heavenly Father, bless us with ears that long to hear the life-giving, life-changing Word of God. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of the one who is the Word made flesh for us and for our salvation, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn 523. Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit.
Awake. Our Father's
Glory be to God on high.
O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on your bulletin.
Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold." And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn, number 577, Almighty God, your word is cast. Number 577.
In the name of Jesus, amen. He who has ears, let him hear. Those are the words that our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in our gospel lesson for this morning. And to be completely fair, it's not the only place in the scriptures where Jesus himself says these words. By my count, 7 times in the Gospels, Jesus directs his disciples, the ones who have ears, to hear. And 7 times in the book of the Revelation of St. John, Jesus says to the churches of Asia, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So, if you have ears, listen. Listen to what, Pastor? Listen to the gospel, the message that God has saved you from sin, death, and the power of the devil, that he has purchased and won you from these things, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, innocent suffering and death, so that you might be his own possession and live under him in his eternal kingdom. Live forever in everlasting blessedness, innocence, and righteousness. Listen to that. Listen to the word which brings that very forgiveness to you. Listen to it as we sing it in hymns. Listen to it as we speak it and sing it in the liturgy. Listen to it as it's read from the lectern and preached from the pulpit. Listen to it as it combines with water and bread and wine. Listen to how God has saved you from your sin. Jesus says it over and over again. God begs you, you who have ears, to listen to his word. And he's made sure that you have something to listen to. He's sent men out to preach that word to you. That's what pastors are. That's why we don't just stand up here silently. for an hour every Sunday or wave our arms around without making any noise. We speak God's word to bring you forgiveness. This is the way God has always worked throughout the pages of scriptures. He constantly sends men to speak his word. Take St. Peter, for example. On the very first Pentecost, Jesus went up into the Temple Mount, Peter went up in the Temple Mount and began to preach. And what did you hear from his lips? Hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He who has ears, let him hear. Or take St. Paul. What did he do? He preached also all over the pagan world of his time. Most famously, perhaps, on the Areopagus in Athens, declaring to Epicurean and Stoic philosophers and skeptics alike that Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead and would return on the last day to judge the living and the dead. And Paul's even written down words that you can read from his own hand. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. He preaches the gospel. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as we've already mentioned, God sends his word even now. Pastors coming to preach God's word of life and resurrection to you here in this city, in this very room. God gives you his word. A word of forgiveness, life, and salvation. A word that our Old Testament lesson says will accomplish exactly what God purposes. It will not return to God void. He creates faith in each and every one of you by his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How beautiful the feet of those that bring that word to you. Where God's word is, the Holy Spirit is, calling, gathering, enlightening all of you into the holy Christian church, so that you might live forever in the grace of Jesus Christ. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And by hearing, be saved. The church really is that simple. God's word really does this saving work, bringing you the forgiveness of Jesus. But Pastor, if that's true, if it's really as simple as God's word being preached, how come our church isn't bursting at the seams? How come we only have two services instead of three or four on a Sunday? How come my kids stopped coming when they grew up or want to go someplace else? If it's as simple as preaching God's word, how come only 75% of Nebraska citizens are Christians? How come only 50% of Lincolnites are Christian? I mean, we have a radio station with God's word going out all the time. If it's as simple as God's word, Pastor, how come 65% of the Christians in Lincoln don't go to church on any given Sunday? Shouldn't God's word create faith? Shouldn't God's word bring them in? Shouldn't God's word mean we're always full? Shouldn't everybody already be a Christian? Or did God's word fail? Jesus knew this would be the way the world would work. And that's why he tells the parable from this morning's gospel lesson. The parable of the sower. In the parable, God's word is equated to seeds sown by a sower, just like the sower on the top of the Capitol building. The word is sown. It goes out. It lands everywhere. Some even lands on the pathway, and it's trampled underfoot and taken away by the birds of the air, by Satan and his false word and his lies. And when we look at our society, our community, that's exactly what we see in some cases, isn't it? When God's word is replaced by other messages. Messages that are socially popular. Or messages that are politically expedient for those in power. Or messages that make nice bumper stickers that you know will get someone else's goat as they're tailgating you. Rainbow signs, coexist stickers. No prayer in public schools. Not long ago, our youth here told me if they speak about Jesus in school, they're afraid they'll be suspended. That's God's word being trampled. It's God's word being obscured by the lies of Satan and the world. And so it is that some, influenced by this, reject God's word. The word is sown, it goes out, and some of it lands on rocky ground. But it withers in the heat of the day because it has no root. And when we look around in our society, in our community, that's exactly what we see, isn't it? Those who come here to church and rejoice with all of us for a little while in the grace of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. But then after a little while, sometimes even after years, they disappear. They stop coming to church. These are those who bring their children to confirmation class, but then never come back after that. These are they who are always searching for some reason to be mad at either a person or something that happens within the church so that they have a reason to leave and to go somewhere else. These are those who sometimes just get lazy in their faith, who don't realize the surpassing greatness of what God has done and what it means for eternity, because, well, right now there's other things that seem more exciting, more fun. And so it is that some reject God's word. Their ears don't hear. And Jesus says there is the place where the seed is sown and it lands and it goes forth. But as it grows up, thorns grow up with it and choke it out. Weeds steal the light and the water and the nutrients from the plant. And soon it dies. Christ says, these are they who love the world more than they love God. If the choice were between soccer practice and church, they'd choose soccer. If the choice were between fishing and church, they'd choose fishing. Shopping and church, they'd choose shopping. Sleeping over church. You get the idea. These are they who complain that I donate money to this church, but I don't get as much say in what goes on here as I'd like. These are they who think we have too political a congregation. These are they who find something else to love. And so it is that some reject God's word. Some have ears, but don't hear. Not really, anyways. But did you notice what happened in the parable? Where did the sower sow his seed? Did he just sow it on the places that he thought it would grow really well? No. He sowed it everywhere. The word goes out. The word is preached in church, in the community, in the hospital, in the nursing home. The word is preached at the dinner table with family and friends. The word is preached and proclaimed. The word goes out. Nothing can stop that. The Holy Spirit works in the word that goes out. The Holy Spirit calls and creates Christians, sometimes in unexpected places, sometimes in unexpected people. The Father still welcomes sinners into his kingdom. Christians are still saved. You are still saved. Faith is still created by God's word. And those who have ears, who hear, who listen, who believe that Christ has died and rose for them, they bear fruit. They hold God's word fast with honest and good hearts. They bear fruit with patience, steadfastness, and comfort, knowing what God will one day fulfill for them. For you. He who has ears, let him hear. Christ is talking to you, dear Christians. Hear God's word, which gives the warning about the dangers of this world. Hear God's word that brings forgiveness through God's word to each and every one of you. Hear God's word that proclaims Christ, the crucified and risen one. Hear God's word and repent of rocks and thorns and listening to the lies of Satan. Hear God's word and know that Christ has called you, that he's bled for you, died for you, rose for you, ascended for you, and even now cares for you. Believe that Christ has purchased and won you because he has. And since that's true, live your life like that really matters. Be where the seed is sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what? The gospel, God's word, regularly, intently. Focus on what he teaches you. Let his word of mercy, forgiveness, and compassion be the most important thing for you in this life, in this place. Let his word rule over you. Let his word call you, gather, and enlighten you. Let his word bring you Jesus. Because that's what God does. God's word does go out. God's word accomplishes what it purposes. God's word comes to you. God's word saves you. God's word brings you Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service continues at this time as we sing the offertory on page 192 in your hymnal. Please stand.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news and the promise of a fruitful word would open our ears and our hearts and be comforted by the good news of Jesus. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
morning star, Jesus, how can I tell you how beautiful you are to me? Jesus, song that the angels sing, Jesus, dearer to my heart than anything, sweeter than springtime, purer than sunshine, ever my song will be. Jesus, you're beautiful to me. Jesus, bright as the morning star, Jesus, how can I tell you how beautiful you are to me, my Jesus? Than springtime, purer than sunshine, ever my song will be. Jesus, you're beautiful to
Our service continues with the prayers of the church. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the church, that all the baptized would continue to hear the word of God, hold it fast and honest in good hearts, and bear fruit with patience and repentance. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the office of the holy ministry, that the seed of God's word would be sown and find good soil in many through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our Christian brethren around the world, facing persecution and martyrdom, especially in the Middle East and Africa, in Scandinavia, in Venezuela, that they may, by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, confess the saving name of Jesus Christ in the face of their persecutors, remembering that He will confess them before His Father in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the institution of holy marriage and the blessings of family, we give thanks to the Lord, that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society, and especially within the communion of saints. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world and their leaders, that all who receive the sword as your servants may bear it according to your command, and that war, hate, and bloodshed may be overcome by peace,
justice, and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those enduring a time of sickness or suffering in this vale of tears, especially Karen, Mark, Tom, Jan, Mark, Jan, Cecilia, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, Pearl, John, Brooke, the family of Peggy Barnes, and all those that we remember in our hearts. That they would know the peace that the world cannot give, commending each into the Father's loving hands and asking for a happy issue out of their troubles. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of life, Dax and Jude, grandson of Doug and Victoria Hughes, we give thanks. Bless mother and child and keep them safe in your arms until that day when he is born again in the waters of holy baptism. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, that reverence and awe would attend them as they enter into the dwelling place of their Lord and Savior, especially as they approach the holy altar to receive the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness and strengthening of their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, in whom the seed of God's word has been planted and cultivated until they departed this vale of tears and faith, let us give thanks to the Lord, asking him to bring us to share in the joys of the unending feast with them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Lord's table. very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199.
Lord,
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 582. God's Word is our great heritage. Be seated. Kids, you can go get some goodies now. We'll have our Sunday school opening back here in about 7 or 8 minutes. You're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have two opportunities for Bible study this morning. continue our look at Romans chapter 5 in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Well, we're going to wrap up the Lord's Supper and then kind of get into odds and ends to bring things to a close.
Okay, maybe a little vocation?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so please join us there, and we pray God's word would be a blessing among us as we open our ears and gobble it up. God's word is life. Check out Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. At 10:30 this morning, we have a brunch for our many college students that attend with us. So right after Bible study in the fellowship hall, we have a brunch for our college students. If you knew about it and were expecting it, great. If you didn't know about it and weren't expecting it, come and eat with us anyway, right after Bible study in the fellowship hall. And, you know, like if you brought a friend along or if your mom and dad are visiting from out of town or whatever, they're welcome as well. Is that okay, Pastor?
Sure.
I just made that executive decision.
Excellent.
Okay.
Double your pay.
Tomorrow we have a Red Cross blood drive here at Good Shepherd. It's a holiday, so the hours are more weekend hours, 8 until 2 o'clock. If you have signed up already, we'll see you then. If not, you can just show up or go to the website and get a specific appointment. No school at Good Shepherd, preschool or school tomorrow for the holiday. We'll be back up and running again on Tuesday.
This evening we do have Bible study at Seward at 7 o'clock in room 109, looking at the book of Acts for college students as well.
Okay, and Vicar and family are back from vacation. You know, I really wasn't worried about you breaking a leg, but as often as your wife has been on crutches this year, I was really pretty concerned. So we are glad that you are not crippled up. Good to have you back. And you want to know how clever our vicar is? Vicar Golden spent a week of vacation in, you ready for this? Golden, Colorado. Yeah, all right. Now you know what we've been dealing with all year. Please join us for coffee and goodies, a study of God's Word, and we pray God's blessing among the Word in us and through us.